Hey, if you're starting to think beyond your student loans, check out our other show, Financially Free Era. It's about what comes next, investing, building wealth, and designing a life you actually want. Just search for Financially Free Era wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. It's Travis, and today we're going to talk about the domino effect of the Save Plan lawsuit settlement. There's multiple things going on all at once with this. I thought maybe the first thing that I would talk about is the impact on, well, I'm going to talk about something niche and then I'm going to go broader. Impact on PSLF buyback. The Save Plan is no more, and therefore the Save Plan cannot be used in PSLF buyback calculations. So for anybody who's applying for PSLF buyback, you're now going to have that determined on the ICR, pay, or IBR plans instead of the Save calculation, which of course is way lower in terms of the dollar amount. And Department of Ed will be seeking income and family size information for calculating what that buyback amount should be when they get around to it, of course. Now that's a niche thing. Let's go broader on the domino effect of the Save Plan lawsuit settlement. As soon as they got that settlement finalized with the ruling from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals giving them the approval on the Save Plan lawsuit settlement, shortly thereafter, Department of Ed sent out a notice saying, hey, everyone, you've got 90 days to switch into a new repayment plan. There are about 7 million people in the Save forbearance as of the last update that we saw. And so that's 7 million out of 40-something million total student loan borrowers. But that number is a lot larger than you might think, because I think at a peak, maybe 9 or 10 million people were enrolled in the Save plan, you know, in general. And so the majority of people just chose to stay in that forbearance. So this is impacting a very large group of people. What are we going to see happen? We're going to see folks essentially get these notifications, emails mostly saying, hey, it's time to choose a new plan. And what Department of Ed, I think, is planning on is trying to scare folks to apply for a new repayment plan with that initial communication. That's the first step, is try to cajole people initially. And then I think that you're going to see a, hey, this is do immediately kind of an email, probably go out 30 days before you have to switch. And then they're going to essentially switch people into something like the standard plan if they don't have it maybe 10 days before it's due. Theoretically, you have a window where they don't report you late to the credit bureaus. What's going to happen? I think if I had to guess, I think what we're going to have happen is RAP, the repayment assistance plan, will go live around July 1. And then I think what will happen is people will kind of be given a little bit of a soft launch around that time window where you can use your income information to apply for the RAP plan and not sort of get negative consequences or like the standard repayment plan if you haven't submitted your information. So for example, I think maybe in June, they might say something like, hey, great news, the new repayment assistance plan is now live for signups for starting July 1. If you're in the Save Plan forbearance, give us your income information so that we can get you onto the RAP plan so you can have an affordable repayment and, you know, in many cases, subsidized interest. You know, we have to see on how they go about this. This is just all pretty chaotic. And I will say that once they do roll out the RAP plan, it'll be a lot more straightforward because people will probably be steered into that plan. That'll be the default recommendation that everybody gets from their servicer, even if it's not the right plan for someone. We do know that people will be able to still sign up for the IBR plan or the pay-as-you-earn plan if they have eligible loans. So if you have loans from only before July 2026, you'll be able to sign up for IBR even after that July deadline. And for the pay-as-you-earn plan, they're going to block new signups around 2027, and they'll start transitioning people out of that plan probably sometime in 2027 is the best guess there. The other domino effect of the Save Plan lawsuit settlement is rewriting the regulations for student loans. So we are still awaiting regulation writing for student loans for income-driven repayment and how that's going to work. We need to know things like, are they going to do a weighted average for consolidations for the purposes of 20 to 30-year income-driven repayment forgiveness? We need to know, you know, how they're going to treat a lot of different things that the Save Plan regulations kind of spelled out. Hopefully, we'll get some of that clarity in the coming couple months, I hope. A couple other broad thoughts about the Save Plan lawsuit settlement. people will be having their 2024 and 2025 income information used in a really big way, right? So even though a lot of people have, you don't have to recertify your income until X date in 2027, even though that's still the case for a lot of people, if you're in the save plan forbearance and you're forced out of it and you must choose a new repayment plan, then when you switch into that new repayment plan, they're going to use your most recent income information. And if you filed the tax return extension for 2025 tax year, then they'll probably use your 2024 information. If you did not file a tax extension, they're going to use your 2025 information. And that's going to cause a lot of people, especially save forbearance people, those people are going to see the biggest sticker shocks of all. Because a lot of those people are still on pre-COVID recertifications in terms of their income information. I would wager at least a couple million out of that 7 million are still using a tax return from like 2018, 2019 to have their payment calculated because, you know, that IDR recertification was pushed out over and over and over and over again. So that means a lot of folks that are going to be forced out of the safe forbearance are going to be going from a low to $0 payment to a 2025 tax return payment. People that get consults from us or financial planning from us are smart about how to do that in the best way possible. But I think a lot of people have not been paying attention to that very much. And they're going to get shocked if they filed jointly for taxes. Like, you know, people's repayment assistance plan's not capped. People are going to get just eye-wateringly large bills in some cases that weren't paying attention to how to file their taxes. Most people, of course, listening to this podcast are just going to be A-okay, you're going to be fine. But a lot of people are going to be really stunned by how large those monthly payments are. And that's something to, you know, kind of think about for, you know, when you get those really unexpectedly large payments, you know, what can you do? So a couple thoughts on that. We do have better forbearance protections that last, I believe, through 2027, where you're able to pause payments for a variety of reasons. So keep in mind, you might want to try to see if you can get approved for a forbearance if your wrap plan payment is way higher than you thought it was going to be. If you have the ability to, I mean, in extreme cases, maybe even get on like a graduated extended type of repayment plan just to avoid having a really large wrap plan payment if you filed jointly when you shouldn't have. Milk the clock for all it's worth, right? Figure out exactly when you're going to be considered late if you don't recertify or switch to a new plan and kind of know when that date is, right? Because some people really do need to put it off as much as possible because of cash flow planning or something like that. Now, a couple other sort of thoughts on the save plan fallout of the settlement. Borrowers are going to be paying way more money on student loans. I mean, this is going to be, again, a total shift in the dynamic of student loans, of federal student loans, right? During the Biden administration, the default kind of thing was, hey, you're going to get cancellation or you're going to get some kind of forgiveness or we're going to forgive a lot of your interest with the save forbearance that goes on and on and on. But that's very different now, right? When people are forced to pay very large monthly payments, in some cases with Grad Plus, recent loans were borrowed at 7, 8, 9% interest even. You can get way lower than that in the private sector if you have a really good credit score, right? So we are certainly seeing a lot more people do refinancing than we have in recent years, really probably since 2023, 2022, when interest rates were much lower. So if you get a very large payment and you want it to be lower through a refinancing, or you want to look and see if you can refinance again, we do, I believe, still have the best cashback bonuses on the internet. I mean, actually, I know we do. At least that I'm aware of. studentloanplanner.com/refi if you need to check out how low of an interest rate you could get. Some other thoughts about save plan settlement kind of fallout. Most people are going to be okay. That's not everybody though, right? People that listen to this podcast are mostly going to be all right because you're investing and understanding all this stuff by spending some of your time listening to this podcast. So you're going to be prepared. You're going to be fine. I'm definitely very concerned about the people who are not paying attention because those are the folks that are going to file jointly for taxes. They've been on the safe forbearance forever and their payments are going to skyrocket when they have to switch in midsummer and they're going to be like, what do? I'm in deep trouble. So that's going to have an impact on a lot of consumers out there and hopefully we'll be able to help people. On the Student Loan Planner website, there's a bunch of free calculators that you can click through to find things like what will my monthly payment be on the wrap plan? What will my monthly payment be on IBR? So you can compare those. What will it be on refinancing? So you can compare what refinancing payments might look like. There's just a lot of ways to be strategic about this. Like for people that could qualify for interest rate subsidies on the wrap plan, those are people whose calculated 10% of income payments would be lower than their interest would be. Then you get subsidized interest for the difference. So for example, if you are a resident physician making $65,000 a year, your wrap plan payment's around 6% of your income. Let's say that equates to a $300 a month payment, but your interest on your student loans is $3,000 a month. Well, the wrap plan would subsidize the difference. So that would give you a subsidy of $2,700 a month. So the only interest you'd pay is essentially what your monthly payment is. Now, when your payment jumps up a lot, when you become an attending physician, you don't get any interest subsidy because your payment is maybe high enough where it covers the interest, hypothetically, in this scenario. So I think that we'll see a lot of folks taking advantage of those interest subsidies on the wrap plan. But because of how long the save plan forbearance went on and how long the COVID forbearance went on, there are literally millions of people who are, you know, benefiting from ultra low payments and who are going to get that sticker shock. Hopefully not a lot of people listening to this podcast, but it's going to happen. Now, a couple other random PSAs to end the show with today. One is Parent Plus folks. Parent Plus folks, if you have Parent Plus loans that have not been consolidated yet, time is running out. You've got to do it. You go to studentaid.gov, go to the consolidate section, get that consolidation started on your Parent Plus loans. There's no time to lose. Consolidations can take up to 90 days, and we are within that window now. So it is not a guarantee that your consolidation would close in time to meet that July 1, 2026 deadline. So if you've got Parent Plus loans, you've got to get going on that. Don't wait to book a consult to do that. If you have Parent Plus loans and you've not consolidated, get that process started ASAP if you haven't already. Also, Parent Plus folks, don't take out loans after July 2026. Your school will give them to you. If you do, you lose access to all income-based repayment programs. You will not be able to afford the payments in most cases for people who have six figures of Parent Plus loans. Or if you can't afford the payments, it'll mean working into your 70s or something. So it's just super critical Parent Plus updates for the next couple months people need to be aware of. If you've already consolidated Parent Plus loans, then you do have to make one payment on the ICR plan, even if it's an ugly payment. And know that that can happen strategically. So you might have filed taxes separately. You might have a low ICR payment that you make, and you make that one payment, and then you can switch to the IBR plan. That's the PSA for Parent Plus folks. There's also a random update for Sweet V Cardona people. Supposedly, that settlement is progressing towards a lot of people getting their loans canceled. 170,000 post-class applicants that attended one of the schools that the Sweet V Cardona settlement listed are supposed to be approved for discharge if they haven't gotten an answer from Department of Ed on their discharge that they're supposed to answer you on. That's continuing to be appealed. And, you know, we've got a conservative Supreme Court. If Department of Ed decides to try to continue appealing it all the way there, maybe that settlement does not end up getting processed the way it looks like it will be right now, which is kind of a pro-borrower sort of settlement in the sense of how many people might get some relief there. That's, you know, too late to do anything about it if you've not already done something about it. But if you were in this group of post-class applicants, just it's going to be kind of like a weeks by weeks kind of development where, you know, there's some good legal news, some bad legal news, and we just have to wait and see if it actually comes to fruition. So know that we're kind of following that, but I know that's really important for folks who do qualify for that. We're going to continue following the IDR regulations that are going to be rolling out, and we'll also have some stuff upcoming on new borrowing strategies if anybody's still taking out student loans. If you need a consult, studentloanplanner.com/book. We have a little bit of a waiting list right now, or waiting period right now because of all the save plan settlement forcing people into repayment in 90 days and the Parent Plus cliff that's looming. So a little bit of a wait there. That's why I said don't wait to do a consolidation on Parent Plus loans. If you need to do that, do it ASAP and then talk to us to figure out what you did. And then if you are needing to switch out of the save plan for parents, need a consult for that reason, we can help with that. That's not quite as urgent as the Parent Plus folks, where it is urgent. So that's pretty much all I've got for this week. If you have any questions you want to ask, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. Thank you for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast, and have a great rest of your week. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.